Hello, and welcome to Johnson Ferry Women Podcast. My name is Marcia Crow, and I'm the minister to women here at Johnson Ferry. I appreciate you taking the time to join us today for an amazing study that, well, I think you're going to love it. Our goal with online Bible study is to help you find time to be in the Word amidst your busy schedules and full lives, and to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. Are you ready, ladies? Get your Bibles and let's get started.
I am thrilled that you are here. I am thrilled that you want to memorize Scripture. And if you think you can't, you're on the right path, because that means you're going to let the Holy Spirit do it for you. So congratulations, you're right, you can't. I can't, but the Holy Spirit absolutely can work in our minds and in our hearts. We're going to start this in a way that might make you uncomfortable, or you might thank me. It's a rainy Monday. I don't know what your day has been like. I have homeschooled two boys and experienced my middle schooler's first baseball game of the season, in which we lost 13-1. It's fine. He's happy. But what we're going to do is I'm going to set a timer for 3 minutes, and we're going to be quiet. We're just going to be quiet for 3 minutes. Now, you can do whatever you want to with this 3 minutes. I'm not judging. Do what you need to do to clear your mind. Check your email. Just sit. Go before the Lord. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. I'm giving us all 3 minutes. Now, I'm going to warn you. I think when the timer ends, we're going to hear a duck, because that's what my youngest has set this to, and I don't know how to change it. So we're just going to be quiet. There's your duck. Okay, ladies, let me ask you a question now. Where does your mind go when the world gets quiet? Now, I know that for some of you, your immediate response to that question would be, my world never gets quiet. Well, that's why I just silenced it for 3 minutes. So let me ask you again, where did your mind go when the world got quiet? Were you making lists of things that you needed to do? Were you thinking of relationships in your life? Were you thinking of maybe an upcoming event or a trip that you're excited about? Maybe reflecting on some fun memories? Maybe reflecting on some painful memories? Thinking about goals that you have for yourself or your families? Thinking about regrets or concerns? I have to tell you that I really believe that the world gets quiet more than we realize. Maybe not for 3 whole minutes at a time, but there are what I believe to be blank space moments sprinkled throughout our days. This could be the first few minutes when you wake up or the last moments before you fall asleep. It could be while you're waiting on your coffee to make or your kids to come downstairs in the morning. It could be sitting at a traffic light, could be in a carpool line, could be sitting in a doctor's office on hold waiting for a call. Sometimes your kids' athletic practices or lessons. I was recently made aware that I was having one of these blank space moments right after the women's conference. We were cleaning up, and I was walking up and down the halls and up and down the stairs putting things away, and I realized that it was quiet, and I had a blank space moment. Blank space moments give us time to think, and I think that we fill these precious moments subconsciously a lot of the time. We might pick up a phone, you know, that is an easy thing to do, but I really think even more likely we have a pattern of thinking that we might not be aware of. I have found that whatever it is that's filling our blank space moments, even in the subconscious, becomes the natural resting place of our minds. List making, goal planning, relationships, whatever it is, I think it becomes a natural resting place of our mind. Science has actually proven this over time. Our brains have a quality called plasticity, and what that means is that our brains are actually changing constantly over time, wait for it, based on the things that we do repeatedly over time. So the things that you think about repeatedly over time actually change the shape of your brain. Now, it's a little bit hard to grasp, so I'm going to share my personal story to see if it will make sense to you. So for my entire life, the natural resting place of my brain has been anxiety. It's been a struggle. I don't know if any of you struggle with anxiety. While I'm talking, I'm still going to encourage you to think about what you think the natural resting place of your brain is. I'm going to pray the Lord will show you that. For me, it was anxiety. Nothing happened to cause this. There was no trauma, no big story. It just kind of seemed the natural wiring, right? We know we come into the world sinful and broken, and the natural wiring of my brain seemed to be worry. Now, you reinforce that with a lifetime of blank space moments subconsciously filled with anxiety and worry, and by my 30s, it was kind of the perfect storm. And the anxiety could really be debilitating at times. Okay, so this is a true story that might seem silly, but the Lord has cemented it in my mind as a picture of how crazy this anxiety could get in my mind. I was living in Nashville. My oldest, who's 13 now, is about 2, and it was like late September, and I laid down to go to sleep and thought, he doesn't have a winter coat. It was late September. There was time. And yet, I could not go to sleep, and that obsessive thinking, he doesn't have a coat. He doesn't have a coat. I need to get him a coat. He doesn't have a coat. Y'all, I got up at 1 o'clock in the morning, went downstairs, pulled open my computer because you couldn't do it on your phone then, went to the Janie and Jack website and ordered that baby a winter coat. Promise you. Went back upstairs, went to sleep. Woke up the next morning and thought, whoa, that was crazy. There was nothing rational about that, but there was nothing I could do to stop that obsessive thinking. Other examples that I would maybe think obsessively about are the possibility of my kids getting sick. worrying that somebody might be upset with me, replaying a conversation that I didn't think went well, thinking about a job that I had done that I didn't feel like was to the best of my ability. Now, these were all exaggerated lies, worries distorted by the enemy to distract me from God's truth. Now, something else I want you to know is I've been walking with the Lord since I was a little girl. It's not like I didn't know the Lord and therefore I was anxious. I did know the Lord and I was still anxious. Not only that, but I did my graduate work in counseling. I know mental health. So I had every mental health tool plus all of this spiritual knowledge to throw at my anxiety, and yet I was still wrestling with it on a daily basis. It was still filling up all of my blank space moments, lies instead of truth. Mm-hmm. Now, that all changed in mid-2017 when a friend of mine and I were offered the opportunity to be mentored by Cindy Wheeler, who is here and should really just come up here and teach this. But and we began a year of mentoring with her, and in that was introduced the concept of memorizing chapters of Scripture, maybe even books of Scripture. We approached this at the pace of one verse every day. Now, in order to accomplish such a lofty goal of one verse every day, I basically had to be practicing the new verses all day, every day. And what happened is this became my reality of praying without ceasing, and my brain was starving for it, could not get enough of it. I became intentional about my blank space moments. All of a sudden, I was aware of them, and I needed them to practice the chapter that we were working on. I was using every moment to recite Scripture, to recite God's Word, His truth. And you guys, a miracle happened. Through that, the chemistry in my brain changed. Remember plasticity? Science proves it. God made our brains. He knit us together in our mother's womb, and He used His Word to change the chemistry of my brain. Our brains physically change based on what we do repeatedly over time. The natural resting place of my mind shifted from lies and worry to truth. So now when things got quiet, instead of becoming anxious and wrestling with obsessive thoughts, I recited God's truth. This resonated not only with my mind, but with my heart and with my soul as well. It was perhaps the greatest manifestation of peace that passes understanding that I had ever experienced. Now, I want to tell you those moments after conference when I was walking the halls, I'd been really focusing on Psalm 139, Romans 8, a lot in the week leading up to conference, and I was done. And I was walking through the halls, and I started worrying. There it was, and I went, oh, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, and y'all, I started Romans 12. Ain't no way I was going to. It is absolutely living and active, right? It is sharper than a double-edged sword. And walking through those halls, I grabbed those blank space moments. I did not let them subconsciously shift back to the natural resting place of my mind as it used to be before the Lord redeemed it. So my life has changed. God used the reality of the plasticity of my brain along with the power of His living Word to transform my mind. So our family's life verse has always been Romans 12:2. And we chose that because we do things in a very out-of-the-box way most of the time, never really fit in a box. And the beginning of Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And we always talk to our boys about that. Well, in the last 2 years, the Lord has really shown me the next part of that verse is, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is just what He does. So this has become my personal battle cry, is Romans 12, and I would love to share it with you tonight. I'm going to open my Bible because it's new. We're going to see how it goes. Here we go. This is the word of the Lord from Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I now say to each one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Rather, think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. For just as every one of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then offer encouragement. If it is leading, if it is giving, then give generously. If it is leading, then do it diligently. If it is showing mercy, then do so cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Never repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Never take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. As it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is the word of God for Romans 12. Did I get it? Mostly? Mostly? Probably some hiccups. Okay. But I love, and the Lord is still showing me. Just then I was like, that's it. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is what this whole thing is. We are going to allow the Holy Spirit to overcome evil with good. Okay, I have handouts that we're going to get logistical, which I love. I love logistics. I love order. We're going to get into it, and we're going to get into practically, if you want to memorize scripture, how I do it. The Holy Spirit may show you a completely different way to go about this, and I hope that you will just disregard everything I say if that's the case, but I'm just going to walk you through my process in hopes that it might encourage you or be a springboard for you to go in whatever way the Lord takes you. So as they're handing those out, we've already talked a little bit about why we memorize Scripture. We memorize Scripture because of what the Holy Spirit can transform our minds. We talked about plasticity and that the Holy Spirit can actually rewire our brains as we repeatedly over time practice Scripture memory. This rewiring of our minds has the power to change our lives. Okay, so here's some practical tips. And in just a minute, I'm actually going to walk you through what a day in my life looks like as far as memorizing Scripture goes, and show you kind of how it weaves in through everything that I do all of the time now. But these are just some tips to stick in your pocket to get you started. First of all, we need to pray. You want to pray for the discernment about which Scripture to memorize. Were you using Romans 12 tonight? And I would love for you to leave here and memorize Romans 12. That may not be the chapter God has for you. I'm dying to memorize Philippians 1, 2, and 3 because I've done 4 and I want to do 1, 2, and 3, and I've not gotten there yet. The Lord keeps taking me in other directions, and it's really neat to watch when you're like, okay, Lord, if this is the one, okay, and then 3 months, 6 months later to be like, wow. So that's why. So pray about what Scripture God wants you to memorize. Then we want to pray for the ability to memorize Scripture, right? I think everybody walks up to me and says, I could never do that. And I'm like, right, correct, neither can I. But the Holy Spirit can absolutely do that through you and for you. I want us to pray against frustration and comparison. you're going to hit a bump. Randomly, 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses, like, took me forever. I could not lock them in. We want to pray against frustration. A lot of times, if you're having a hard time memorizing a verse, I find the Lord just wants you to sit in it. There's something in that verse that he wants you to just stay in. And also, we don't want to compare, right? If your friend is working with you, you might memorize at a very different pace than they do, and that does not matter. It's never wasted. This is never wasted time or energy. So we want to pray against frustration in comparison. And we want to pray to see God's hand in the process, right? Lord, as I am delving into this new spiritual discipline, I want to see you in a new way. I want to experience you in a new way. Please give me eyes to see and a heart to receive you in this process. I would encourage you to have some accountability, especially as you get started. For me at this point, I can't imagine not actively memorizing scripture at this point, but that's not necessarily how it starts. So I would really encourage you to have some accountability. You may team up with your table tonight, and you may all decide to be accountability. You may have one person. It could look like, let's get together once a week and say our scripture to each other. It could look like, let's call each other. It could just be a quick text. How are you doing? Where are you? But some kind of accountability really is helpful, especially in the beginning. There are three apps that I use every single day. The first one is Fighterverse. You can put all of your scripture memory on that app, and it will pull up a page and have all of your verses, and you can click them, and it'll pull them up for you. It has all kinds of quizzes, depending on what learning type you enjoy. I also would tell you, if you don't have a dictionary app on your phone, as we get into studying what we're memorizing, a dictionary app's great. And then there's also an app called Blue Letter Bible. It is phenomenal for commentaries and cross-references. And again, as we get into studying, you'll see what I mean, but I wanted to go ahead and mention those tools to you. I'm going to show you in a minute my day, but I really want to encourage you to establish routines. Establish routines as you get started, especially if you've never done this before, right? So in the beginning, I would set alarms throughout my day, like 4 or 5 times throughout my day, I would set an alarm, and every time the alarm went off, I would practice my new verse for that day, or if I had the time, the whole chapter up to the verse where I was, and I would set, I think I set it for like 4 times a day, and I tried to set it for times that I knew I might be sitting in carpool, or I might be sitting in traffic, or whenever you think you might have that breath, that blank space moment. And here's what's happened that was so cool. A little while in, right before my timer would go off, the scripture would come to my mind. And the timer would go off. And then eventually, I didn't need the timer anymore because my brain was trained to go to scripture. And it's funny, now it's my ringtone somehow, or my text something. And every time it goes off, my kids will go, "This is what the Lord says." Every time. But yeah, they got used to it. So set an alarm on your phone, and when it goes off, also begin and end your day with your new verse. So whatever verse you're going to work on, and it might be the same verse for several days, but whatever verse it is, read it right before you go to sleep. Try to say it. It's going to be a jumbled mess. That's okay. Read it again the next morning when you wake up, right? So right before your brain rests, right when it comes into consciousness, we're going to read it. Practice while you're getting ready. This is such a blessing, right? I mean, it's funny. My youngest was at Breathe, and apparently he turned to my husband and said, "Sounds just like it does when I pass by our bathroom," because I speak scripture from the time I get in the shower until I walk out of my bathroom. It's 45 minutes, and I start. And there are days that I'm in a bad mood, and I don't want to, and I get in the shower, and that water hits, and it's like, "You search me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sin, when I rise." But by the end of the first practice, the first run through, the Lord's already working in your heart. And here's what else happens, ladies. The whole time you're getting ready, you know what you're not focusing on? What you look like. You're focusing on God's truth, and what you see in the mirror is absolutely secondary, which I love. I think that's a blessing for me. Practice while you're folding laundry, while you're washing dishes, while you're walking the dog, whatever doesn't take brain power, that's a blank space moment, and you're filling it with something. You just didn't realize it maybe until tonight, but you are. So grab it, right? Grab it, take hold of it and claim it and practice. So by establishing these routines, you are training your mind. You're transforming your life to revolve around the Word of God. That's what's happening. Okay, I'm going to walk you through what a day looks like for me, because this is not one of those things that, like, once you've done it for a while, you don't have to be rigorous with it, right? Every new chapter you have to be rigorous with, and every chapter you've already memorized, you need to be saying at least once a week to get it into long-term memory. This is something, it's a discipline that's, it's not for a minute, it's for the rest of our lives. And what that doesn't mean is that, like, I can't go out to dinner with you because I got to sit home and memorize scripture. That's not what that means. What it means is I may speak scripture all the way to dinner and all the way home. It also means that if I ever completely go out of my mind and start talking to myself, no one's ever going to know, because I walk around talking all the time anyway. So it's going to be a secret. So here's an example of my typical day. As soon as I wake up, I read a new verse. The second I wake up, I pick up my phone, I go to Fighter Verse, and I read my new verse. And then I start trying to say it, right? And it's going to be ugly. It's going to be, therefore, brothers, and no, therefore, I urge, yeah, that's it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's grace, what? Great, no, mercy. In view of his mercy. It's going to be ugly. That's okay. Just start trying to say it. Keep looking back. Try to say it. Keep looking back. Do it while you brush your teeth. That whole little patch in the morning where nobody's talking to you yet, maybe because you haven't brushed your teeth. Use that to just hit that new verse right off the top. And recite your entire chapter up to where you are. So if it's one verse, great. If it's 20 verses, right there, right in the beginning, I do that. Then during my quiet time every day, I study the verse I'm trying to memorize. And that's, we're going to do that together in a minute. But during my quiet time, I'm going to study the verse I'm memorizing. For however many days I'm memorizing it, I'm going to sit in it and study it. And I'm going to say it several times during that time as well. We already mentioned setting alarms throughout your day. Definitely, I recommend that. Use your time in the shower for scripture memory. Become very intentional with your blank space moments. Pray. Pray that the Lord would make you aware of those and use them. Use them every time. Ask your friends, your kids, your husband, ask them to let you practice. I don't ask mine every day, probably at least once a week in the car. Each of my boys gets handed my phone, and I'm like, hey, can I try Romans 12 for you? And they're like, oh, how far into it are you? But they still do it, and they're still hearing the Word of God, right? And it's a great thing to do at dinner. Like, hey, will somebody let me try this? Will somebody let me practice this for them? It's making your whole family involved in the Word of God. It's a win-win. And then at the end of the day, once again, the entire chapter up to where you are. And at that point, you're going to kind of assess, you know what, this verse, I don't have it yet. I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Or, okay, this verse I got, and now I'm going to go ahead and read the next verse that I'm going to try to work on tomorrow. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's kind of what a day looks like for me all my days now. So, like, let's say we're doing Romans 12. So if you wanted to memorize Romans 12, then tonight you would read Romans 12:1. And when you wake up in the morning, you do Romans 12:1. And you'd work on Romans 12:1 all day. And then at the end of tomorrow, you might be like, going to do it again tomorrow. Do it again. When you're comfortable with it, then the night before you're going to go, okay, I'm going to Romans 12, 2. So the next morning you're going to put 1 and 2 together and build it. So let's move into studying. Beyond memorizing, like, we memorized, like, addition and subtraction and multiplication and division. We want this to go beyond just memorizing. We want to study and internalize the Word of God. So I would say you want to set a goal of memorizing one verse maybe every 2 days to get started if you really want to study it, and just see how it goes. Some of you might be like me and your brain just wants more. That's great. Some of you might need a week on a verse, and that's great. Like I said, God's working in this, but while you're working to memorize a verse, however long that is for you, spend those days studying that verse. It's so fun to start memorizing a verse and then study it. And what's in your mind is totally different as you're saying it after you've studied it. It's really cool. And so you're really allowing the Holy Spirit to renew your mind and your spirit and your life. So what we're going to do now is we are going to spend the next little bit working through studying Romans 12:1. The first thing I want us to do, you have it on the next page of your handout. I want us, first of all, just to read it out loud together. Okay? Everybody found it? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Okay. I also want to say, I don't always even memorize a whole verse. Like sometimes I would read it and be like, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That might make sense to me for a day, and that might be what I work on. And then there's other verses that just seem to run into the next one. And so I tend to memorize it as it makes sense to me, but you might want to stick to the verses. But those are two different ways to do it. The next thing we want to do is we want to pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance. So we're going to do that now. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these women wanting to memorize your word. Lord, I pray for them that they, you would just empower them by the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. I pray that they would see your hand in this. I pray that you would lead them and guide them and teach them. I just pray that you would renew our minds, Father. And I pray that as we look at Romans 12:1, even tonight, you would just reveal your truth to us, God. And you would just teach us, Lord. Would you please just teach us? Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. All right, the next thing I want you to do is rewrite the verse. And if writing helps you, write it lots. Write it and write it and write it and write it and write it. I talk to learn. I say it and say it and say it and say it and say it. But do whatever it is that helps you. All right, the next thing I want us to do is I want you to just write your initial response to this verse. When you read it, how does it make you feel? What does it say to you? Just this one verse. But there's no right or wrong. It literally is just your feeling and your initial response to this verse. So I wrote, you keep writing, this was just what I wrote out, urge. I saw the word urge. This feels important. Brothers and sisters, it seems to be written to people who are endeared to Paul. And then I wrote, I feel insecure when I see the word holy in reference to my body. I'm aware of the sinfulness in my life, and so this feels overwhelming to me. I love worship, and so I find myself wanting to understand how to accomplish what is required in this verse. I'm anxious to see what the next verses say and how they instruct. So that is just absolutely stream of consciousness. Just as I look at that verse, the very first things that were my impression of the verse. The next thing I want you to do is try to underline at least three. 1, 2, 3, 4. I had like 6, but then I love words. But underline at least 3 words that just stand out to you in this verse. You can underline as many as you want. Heads up, there's going to be something to do with those later, but underline the words that jump off of the page at you. Okay, now, what I want you to do, number 5 there, you see, define the words that you underlined. Now, you can use a dictionary if you want to, you know, get your dictionary app and you want to use it, that's great. If you want to use a Bible app, that's great. Or you can just write down your own impressions as the Lord lays them on your heart. That's okay too. Just to kind of give you an example, like I obviously the word urge jumped off the page and I looked it up and it meant push. And then the word view, And I'll show you kind of how this goes sometimes. I looked it up and it said seeing or beholding. Well, then I wanted to know what beholding meant. So then I went, and so it's okay to chase rabbits. Look at the words you underlined and take some time, pray over them, research them, whatever you want to do. Does anybody have a word they looked up that was interesting? Bodies, okay. Body means the whole person. I love that. Mercy, okay. The discretionary power of a judge to pardon someone or to mitigate punishment. Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice, not just a physical offering, but your body, mind, and spirit. Living, the pursuit of a lifestyle of a specific type. Pursuit of a lifestyle. You see why you can spend a lot of time. If it takes you several days to memorize a verse, that's not going to be a problem. The Lord will continue to open and open and open different doors. I looked at pleasing. Another word for pleasing was glorifying. Another word for glorifying was honoring. Worship was the object of adoring. It's just breaking it down further and further and further. So the next thing we're going to move on to is cross-references. And so some of you might, as you just sit in it for a minute, before we go to resources, let's just sit in it for a minute and see if any other verses come to your mind as you read this verse. Just see if they do. They might. Sometimes they will. Sometimes they won't. And then after you've sat in it for a minute, then feel free to look at your footnotes, look at your Bible apps, and look and read. And, you know, like Blue Letter Bible will have 9 jillion. They break it down like they have all the cross-references for the word therefore, all the cross-references for brothers and sisters. And so I'll flip through until the verse resonates with me that makes a connection. So not even if you're using the resources, you're still praying for the Holy Spirit to lead you to the verses in those resources. They're going to make a connection for you with this verse. So let's consider cross-references. Sit in it for a minute, then start using all of your tools. I also love to find passages in the Old Testament when I'm studying the New and vice versa. I think that's it's powerful to me. But as you're looking, I want to encourage you to share what you're finding. One of the first ones that popped up for me was Romans 2:4. And so I wrote a note about why it resonated with me. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" And I wrote, "God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance," which linked back to me for in view of God's mercy. God's kindness and his mercy are leading us to action. So that's kind of how those connected for me. Another one was Hosea 14:2 that says, "Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips." And I keyed in on receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips, linking to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is a blessing. It is a gift to even consider offering something to God. So that was a huge realization to me, to think of it as a gift to even be able to offer something to the Lord. Romans 6:13, 2 Samuel 24:24. Romans 6:13 was another. This is another great point for accountability. If you're studying with people, you can share, even if it's just a text. Hey, check this verse out. 1 Peter 2:5, Psalm 19:14. Don't you love the Psalms? So good. Psalm 139 is a great one to start with for memorizing. Another verse, Ephesians 6:20. You were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. Philippians 4:8, Ephesians 4:1. Ephesians 5:10 says, and find out what pleases the Lord. That's a whole verse. And find out what pleases the Lord. I really love that verse. It linked to holy and pleasing to God, but what it convicted me of is I have to know God to know what pleases him. So I have to spend time with him and in his word and find out what pleases the Lord. Okay, so I think this is fun. Number 7, in light of what you've studied in these last few moments, I want you to rewrite the verse in your own words. It might be shorter, it might be longer. Just rewrite it in your own words. Look at your definitions, look at your cross references, and just rewrite the verse. Okay, so keep working, keep writing, keep thinking. As you might have guessed, mine usually end up longer and more wordy, but I still really love doing this. I ended up writing, therefore, I am pushing you whom I love, as you have observed God's willingness to mitigate your punishment, to give your lives as an offering dedicated to and honoring God. This is your outpouring adoration of him. What'd y'all write?
I have, because of God's great mercy, offer your whole self in service that is pleasing to the Lord. This obedience is true worship.
I said, because of God's great mercy, I should make myself available to be used by God for his pleasure.
All right, so the last thing I want you to do is reevaluate. So question number 3, we talked about our initial impression of the verse. Reread it, reevaluate it. Maybe it changed, maybe it didn't. Just take a minute and jot down if your impression changed. What does it say to you now? How does it make you feel now that you've spent a little time studying? If your impression of this verse changed, who will share with us?
So my initial impression was very limited, and I focused in on a very small portion of the entire scripture. Mm-hmm. And really was very convicted about that part, mm-hmm. and got kind of bogged down in that part.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, it had a much bigger and deeper meaning to me than
that.
When I first looked at it.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Who else?
This time, after having done the study and stuff, I realized the centrality and the importance of God's mercy, that was where it started. And so my sacrifice, I changed body to my life.
Yes.
Is in response to God's mercy and is an act of worship,
yes.
An act of love.
Yes. Anybody else?
When I first read it, I was thinking more like how you treat your bodies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do you eat well? Do you get rest? Do you exercise? Yeah. Do you, and that how you treat your body as a living sacrifice, which is all, that's all good stuff. But after studying it, I see it more as how God uses my body.
Yeah.
To serve him.
Yeah.
So it's less about what I'm doing to my body, but how God's using it.
Love that.
Isn't it amazing to see what God showed everybody, so many women, and he spoke to each of us individually. I love that. Okay, so I wrote, if you remember, I felt overwhelmed by this verse when I first read it. I think the mercy, we're all, that's kind of, whew, that's weighty. Like, wow, my living sacrifice, that's weighty. I felt overwhelmed. After studying it, I said it now feels like a gift. I get to live my life as a thankful outpouring of gratitude to God in response to his continual grace in my life. And I love that it's continual grace because there's no pressure. Because as I am celebrating his mercy, he's going to continue to pour it over me. So the weight got lifted off, and it became a blessing. It became something that sounded invigorating and not draining to me as I studied it. Can you see how memorizing and studying it go hand in hand? And even then, when you are practicing it, the visual images that the Lord brings to your mind as you're studying pop in your head when you're reciting. And it's precious. And he'll and the cross-references and all of that the Lord brings to our minds. And the more that your mind is filled with the Word of God, the less room there is in it for the other junk. Right? So by studying it, we're just adding more volume to what we're putting into our mind. I would love for you all to tackle a chapter. You can do this with any verse. You don't need a study. You got it. You can do it. Hebrews 11:1 through 12:3, we have online the Women's Ministry website. And basically it's this, but it's included in that is like my answers. So if you need like a jumping off point, like I want to hear what somebody else has to say, it has just another voice there to kind of partner with you. I mentioned Psalm 139 is a great place to start. Or if you want to jump in with Romans 12, it's also wonderful. Philippians 4 is great. I mean, it's all good. Some chapters come very quickly. I'll be honest, Romans 12 surprised me how difficult it was, and I'm still struggling with it. Psalm 139 made a lot of sense to me, and it came quickly. So it's different. And that's why I really do feel like the Holy Spirit, it's funny, the verses that won't stick, and then I realize there's something in my heart that doesn't like that verse, and the Lord's wanting to work on it, and I get stuck, and he's pruning. John 15 was really hard for me, and those are Jesus' words, and that bothered me a lot. But I had spent a lot of time in the vine and the branches trying to, and I think the Lord was pruning. I think he was pruning. So that's why I say don't get caught up in frustration with that, because the pace is the Lord's, and none of the time is wasted. If it takes you 2 years to memorize Psalm 139, that's 2 years you were studying God's word. It's really good not to put an endpoint on it and to see it as a journey that you're walking with the Lord. And if it takes forever, you're just, that's why you pray about what chapter, because then you're just in his word, meditating on it. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for this women's ministry that equips and empowers women to run hard after you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you that it is sharper than any double-edged sword. Thank you for the work that it does in our lives. I pray for every woman in this room, Father. Thank you that you put in her heart a hunger for your word and a desire to be here tonight. And I pray that you would foster that, Father. I pray that you would just give these women the ability to memorize your word. And I pray that you would give them a peace that that will happen at your perfect pace in their lives and in your perfect timing, and that they would just enjoy the power of your word in their life, Father. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The Women's Ministry website, it is just johnsonferrywomen.com, and then if you go to Into the Word, then you can download this handout that you used tonight if you want to continue to print that and use it. So johnsonferrywomen.com, Into the Word, you can print the handout. The study that Kinsey's written on Hebrews 11, go to the website and click on Previous Studies. And under Previous Studies, you will find Be in the Word, Hebrews 11. And then the whole study she did on Hebrews is there for you. So I hope that's helpful. We're going to do this again. We're going to be in the Word again on April the 15th. And Susan Forsling is going to be teaching that night. And the topic she'll be teaching on is deconstructing the promises of God. So she's going to take those apart, and we're going to be trying to understand the context in which those promises are made. So we hope you'll join us. Thank you for being here.